Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. It's all brought to you by our Betty Boop scratch-off tickets. We're Conrads. We're into segment three right now, and it's happy hour all day on Friday here at Conrads, so we're at Perry Hall. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery, as well as our friends. Goodwill Industries gave me this little truck for spring cleaning. This is the one that they bring up in front of me.
Nice.
The bags in the back, no bueno. I have too much to give away. So Goodwill and our friends at Window Nation, our newest sponsor. I have a sponsor here on the set who drops by the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, probably just to get the Betty Boop scratch-off tickets at this point and to give me a hard time. Bill Cole is here from Cole Roofing. Stood me up on Wednesday morning. Stood me up. Well, it is abuse. And it's how are you, man?
Good? Good.
All right, now we do a lot of networking. I spent time today with Rob McGrain from Accelerant. Had a long chat with him about where Accelerant's going. I know Ed through networking. You guys know each other. Serendipity has brought this together. That I thought of Ed earlier in the week, and I thought of you. And this is Mr. Crab Cake. You literally were one of the inspirers of the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. So there. How about that?
Thank you very much. I started the whole crab cake thing as sort of a public service. I am sort of a geek and spent most of my life in the cubes managing software developers. And suddenly I was doing business development. I'm eating out every day.
Gaining weight and experience.
And frankly, I felt like I should out the bad crab cakes in town.
Don't do that here. This is going to be a great crab cake.
I'm not going to talk about that. It's sort of shifted. But at the beginning, it started with I had been to New Orleans, and I think they firebomb you if you run a bad food joint in New Orleans. And I'm like, you should not be serving bad crab cakes to tourists. And I was like, talking about it. And then everybody.
Well, they have legit crabs there. They go, no crabs.
What I'm saying is, in Baltimore, tourists will come to town, eat a crab cake at an establishment, and go, I don't get it. It's not that good. I'm like, that's because you had the wrong crab cake.
Understood. Well, if you get in New Orleans, they serve you with remoulade. I like remoulade. If you bring me a crab cake with remoulade, I'm not like, oh, this has a remoulade. I have a remoulade. Well, we're in the right spot. We're Comrades with Perry Hall. Tell me what you do, because I know of you through STEM. And Bill, you've introduced me to events. You do a lot with kids in training and getting kids into a position, smart kids, to get great jobs to change the world. Kind of sort of. That's pretty good.
I like that. I could use that. So I work for a company called Think. We do management consulting. We work with big companies and small companies to make them more efficient. But in my unpaid second job, I run the Baltimore Robotics Center, which is competitive robotics for kids from underserved communities.
I kick Ray Lewis's ass when that game. That night we had him there. And made him so angry when I was beating him. I was trash talking him while I was beating him. My wife got it on video. We shook hands at the end, but he didn't like me in the middle of it. And he's real competitive.
He's very competitive. And what, talk about Baltimore Positive. Like, one of the things that people don't realize about Baltimore is Baltimore City Public Schools, Baltimore County Public Schools have an incredibly strong competitive robotics program. And that's the sport where everybody can go from.
Well, hang on a second. When I was a kid, we didn't have robotics. Billy, did you have robotics at Calvert Hall?
There was none of that.
No? When did this start? I go back to the first computer classes where I had get 10, take 20, with the punch cards, right? And in the day. So I feel like I'm pretty computer savvy now as far as doing this. But building one, no bueno. I would, but operating, what is STEM? STEM is science,
technology, engineering, and math. And some people call it STEAM and they throw art in it.
Or science, technology, engineering, my wife's an engineer, math. I wouldn't get at any of those. I'm being honest with you. I mean, none of those were my thing,
Well, the other thing that I want people to understand about the competitive robotics is it's one of the only places in a school where you can deal with, like, a hacksaw and a wrench other than the theater department. So believe it or not, there's this school in Dundalk called Potasco High School.
That's a rival. That's the wrong school.
That has one of the top teams. And the reason is that...
they must have stolen from Dundalk.
It could have been.
It could have been. Recruiting set. Are we recruiting now? Is that like Dunbar loading up? What are we doing?
There are great teams all over the area. And one of the cool things about the program is kids get scholarships and they get careers. And some of those careers, people are thinking like computer science and stuff like that, and that's my channel. But other ones are like in manufacturing and in auto mechanics. Because kids have so little access to tools, and some kids are natural gearheads. So
you were a nerd as a kid. What replaced this part of your life then? Because STEM wasn't available to you, right? And I think about all the really smart kids that I went to school with that maybe did It's Academic or did things that were academic in their nature, not sports or intramurals or band camp. No offense to any of those things. I participated in a lot of that. I mean, I did shows and all of that. But for kids to have this available, does every school have a STEM program?
Well, they'll have STEM programs, but certain education systems are more focused on doing stuff that actually leads to successful outcomes. Like, for example, Baltimore City and Baltimore County are really good at robotics. So they get the robotics scholarships, not to put on Howard County, though I often like to, is like you go to state championship, there's like 25 teams from Baltimore County out of 60. Zero from Howard County. So you would think that Howard County, with all the money and all the stuff and the education, would have a lot. But like the kids that are going to get the scholarships, think of it like sports, like football or basketball. Like the pipeline going out of, say, like Hereford High School or Eastern Tech.
Well, this is a nice thing to have on your in your transcripts that when you're trying to get into college, right? This
makes it's not about going to college.
No?
It's about getting paid to go to college.
Right, and it's not like a transfer pen, because they're finding out before you're even like submitting the transfer, right? Because you're a sixth or seventh grader, and you're competing at a really high level, and then you move into ninth grade and tenth grade, and then these other organizations, whether it's Northrop Grumman on the private entity side, right, or the schools, and that discussion's already happened.
But what we're doing with smart kids is important in this country, right? We need to make things, build things.
Right, and we're not doing it. I think to Ed's point, this is what Ed talks a lot about, is systemically, right? Like, how do we build systems?
One county has it, one county doesn't, and there's no rhyme or reason for it, right?
Well, you get a couple really inspired humans, right, who lean in, and all of a sudden magic happens over here. But over here, we don't have those humans, so we're kind of like left our own devices, right? But can we figure out a way to take systems and layer them in to provide more opportunity? Ed and our other buddy Tim, we used to talk about this a lot. Like on a Tuesday night, there's like seven places I can take my kids to play soccer. There's five places to play lacrosse. There's four for basketball.
There's band camp. I can take a rock band. Right.
What are we doing to create this opportunity for those kids who don't work in that area?
Bill Cole is here. Ed Mullen is here. We're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour with beer. I'm at Conrad's. We're at Perry Hall. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I'm giving away some Betty Boop scratch-off tickets. Ed's going to get one for playing, as is Bill. We've also had our friends from Wise Markets out here, and our friends at some point, Window Nation's going to give me something. I think it might be a big frame to wear around my head. We're going to do that, and our friends at Conrad's here, and we're going to get this crab cake. The crab cake's here. The fries are here. I'm going to bring all this in the remoulade. We're going to talk about crab cakes. Take a fry.
I need to know one point of clarification.
I'll take a fry.
Earlier, we were talking about Ed's growth in the business development, and that it led to crab cakes. And as a business owner, I just wanted to clarify the point that business development does not require you to eat crab cakes.
Mm-hmm.
There are other things on the menu that you could choose to eat. Just like... You follow me there?
Hold on a second here. I got a Conrad's menu. It's Grabby Hour.
I just had really good
Well, it's Happy Hour all day. You had deviled eggs here. Anything more local? I don't like deviled eggs. I saw a thing the other day, and I wanted to show it to my wife. My wife likes deviled eggs. And there were like a dozen different recipes for what you could put. Like, putting a mushroom, thinking about the egg as a little mini omelet that you could put onions, you could put salsa, you could put lots of things you could put in an egg to make a deviled egg different than what it used to be with me, was a sort of mayonnaise, mushy, mustardy, paprika-y.
These were, two of them were crab chops, two of them were like filet topped, and two of them were like grilled pork topped. They were delightful.
Hold on, you got Gucci?
Yes.
Andrea, do you have Gucci deviled eggs here?
Yeah, they were really serious.
She said their deviled eggs were unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
He said they were Gucci, like they weren't just regular.
Yeah, they are.
All right.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to read off the Krabby Hour menu here.
So. That's a heck of a deal.
Well, it's just $6, too. It's a heck of a deal. Yeah. Andrew will be in next segment. We'll get you in here later talking about crabs and ears of corn and burger sliders and watermelon slices. I can have watermelon slices? That feels like summer. Well, I want to talk more about robotics because Billy invited me, and I've known you a long time, man. I've seen you out around town. But Billy invited me to the robotics thing. I think it's after you and I went to an Oriole game together. And my wife and I went up to Timonium, and you had Ray Lewis there. It was a big business event. But I felt like I was playing Rock'em Sock'em, a game I played when I was a kid. It was in a big pit with these little Jeeps that were like remote control. But the thing that impressed me, you had a bunch of kids that came. I thought they were from Howard County, of all things, and you can probably tell me they're not.
Oh, no, they were from Mervo and from Reeks Academy. And
okay.
From Holland.
And they were showing us what they built. And we were kind of blown away. This is the app. You know, while I was chasing girls, roller skating, you know, in that day, these kids are going after school and building a project of something that, like, real businesses could use, for sure.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, and I don't want to simplify it, but it's kind of like, you know, building your own hot rod in auto shop. Like, this is, like, skills that different kids are, like, the software kids and the hardware kids, and there's kids that are drivers. One of my son is, like, you know, drivers survive crazy driver level mentality, but it gives them something where they can showcase their talents. It's something that the actual industry wants. So what you saw there was what we call Robo CEO, where we get the owners of businesses to like drive the robots. And what was so awesome about getting Ray Lewis there was at the end of the event, he went over and talked to the kids, and he was so like inspiring, like, you know, the odds of being an NFL player are like gazillion to one, but you all are going to have jobs, like, because you know how to code.
He was really impressed by these kids. He really was. I mean,
he was great.
And we were impressed. And I think that's something, even talking about something that's a little esoteric, like STEM and robotics and what it means. It is visual when you see these kids and you see what they're building. It is different than building software. As it's visual and it's physical, the things they're building.
I think it's a lot about taking time to understand the future and then being able to pull some of that future back where we're building skills so that they're prepared for the future. My story that I always love to tell is, so when we build groups, there might be 12 guys on that group. You know, some guys are picking stuff up, other guys are ripping stuff off. One guy's kind of like quarterback and telling everybody where to go. And then there's, you know, a couple experts that help with the install and all that stuff. At some point, parts of those processes are just going by machine.
Right.
And instead of having guys that are like helping things across the roof, I'm going to need two guys there who are fixing the machines because it's really dirty and the machines are breaking and belts come off or whatever. Or they're sitting there just literally programming the plan, like, here, go pick this up, drop it off here, come back, do it again. And that's where this is going. But if we don't have anybody that is able to do that, I mean, this is just commercial roofing. How many more things are more important than that than we do? That's the evolution of manufacturing and construction and all these things. So having kids getting a taste of that and being able to launch their careers in that direction, we're going to need millions of
million. Yeah, there's 20,000 open computing jobs in the state of Maryland. And whenever I run into Kelly Schultz or Peter Francho or any of the folks running for governor, I'm like, Kelly Schultz is like, I know Ed, 20,000 open computing jobs, we're not doing anything about it. I'm like, think about all the taxes you guys could collect if you could fill those jobs and everything. And, you know, what's kind of funny about it is Bill and I went to one of the prep schools in the area. Am I allowed to mention?
Well, he went to the
Hall. And
we're in Perry Hall. The Hall other Hall. Not Perry Hall. Perry Hall. The only hall that matters today is Perry Hall.
You may not be aware, but Cabot Hall has all these top athletic teams, and many of their graduates are my age. They'll be like, man, this kid, all he wants to do is like make video games, code, do Minecraft. And, like,
send them to me.
Send them to me. They'll be fine. They're going to make a lot more money than you one day, and their life is going to be so easy. Embrace it. Like, that's what this is all about. And seriously, there's 20,000 open computing jobs in the state of Maryland. Like,
that's a jobs training issue. That's just what that is, right? That's an education issue for all of us.
Yeah, there's a huge opportunity there. There's a huge opportunity to start putting in curriculum. I was just on a call earlier today with one of the big development companies that may or may not be affiliated with Under Armour, and talking about how we can support these schools in Baltimore City to create a cyber pipeline. Because a lot of these jobs are cyber jobs and comp sci jobs, but you've got to start getting kids into the program early, as early as middle school. Because especially young women that have a lot of brain power, they're going to get picked off by medical or legal or accounting or finance, and then we're still going to have 20,000 cyber jobs because nobody reached out to them. And the one great thing about Maryland is we have all these employers like NSA and Social Security and APL. They're not moving.
Like, they're here.
They're here for the duration, and now that we've got the Great Recession and people are like, oh, I could like move to Florida and work for
wherever. Stay here.
Boston. And I'm like, you gotta like really get to this population. And on the other hand, you know, you've got a city I sometimes call myself the Ozzie Newsom of software engineers, because I can spot them as children, like the kids that have got the juice. And in Dundalk or Port Covington or Cherry Hill, it's like seeing somebody that's going to be the next Ray Lewis of cyber or computer science. I'm like, why are we not pipelining these kids into these programs and getting them internships, apprenticeships, and the industry?
Somebody's out there listening and they have a kid like this. How do they find you, Ed? Because I want to get into this crab cake here in a minute.
Yeah, we should talk about crab cakes. That's really
weird. Give me the robotics school and all the stuff you're doing. How people.
So I'm Ed Mullen, the Baltimore Robotics Center. And the other thing is, contact your high school or middle school or elementary school and ask the question, because many of these schools already have programs. It starts with Lego.
I did Lego, so I'm qualified. Well, I went through this. Science, technology, engineering, math. It all sounds like, not Nestor. You know, not me, but that's okay.
Right. I think we need to be careful. Changing the educational system is really heavy lift, right?
We talk about that a lot.
I don't envy those people in those positions whatsoever. That's really hard to go from.
I had Buzzy Hedelman on the other day talking about, you know, 70 years of the education system.
Just the mere no internet. Like just that conceptual change of your access to information and how should we be teaching today versus then. So I don't try and make light of any of that challenge. What I guess where the frustration is, how do we break down some of the silos and have more discussions and engage with the kids? And I mean, there's tons of money, to Ed's point, there's tons of money from these private companies that they know they need the people, so they're willing to invest. There's state, local, federal government money. There's not, it just needs to be put to work in a smart way, right? Where we can start pumping these kids out. And it's a pretty vicious cycle, right? Like you and I didn't grow up with a robotics team. So we're struggling through that first evolution of, well, how do you build a robotics team? And what the hell does that mean?
And making it, you talk about the competitive nature of this. it's almost like taking two chefs or three chefs and creating Chopped, you know, creating a competition off of who can make food better or a battle of the bands. We're all familiar with that kind of stuff. But this is the modern robotics competitions is how you get better and you sharpen your saw, right?
I mean, I hope you don't screw it up like really bad the first couple times we try and figure it out, but like as you evolve the education system, you're going to make some mistakes, you're going to need to redirect, you're going to need to pivot a little bit, but you have to keep trying, just to Ed's point, like that 20,000 number, every time I see it for 10 years, it's been 20,000 or 50,000 or 80,000, like the number doesn't move, or at least the number doesn't ever move.
Oh, the number actually got worse in the last 5 years.
It's manageable. So, like, we're not winning. We're really behind you.
Well, we talk about jobs, we talk about things that move the city across. Ed Mullins here, Bill Cole's here from Cole Roofing. Half of my... This is the beer that I drank in New Orleans at Super Bowl when the Ravens won the last time around. It's an Ibita Purple Haze they have on tap here at Conrad. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery, Goodwill.
It's actually the same beer, right? That's a new core of the same type of beer.
Purple Ibita. Purple Haze Ibita.
Save that beer.
I'm not usually like an ice. It's raspberry-ish. It's delicious. It's delicious, yes. We have crab cakes here, and this will pair very, very nicely with the remoulade. I assure you that. They brought crab cakes, and we got french fries. Ed brought beer onto the set when I told him not to. Robotics guys, man. Always a rattle rouser.
Always trouble.
Always trouble in this science, technology, engineering, and math portal. So I've had this crab cake. I had it in Abingdon. I want you to have it because I care, Ed. We're Conrad's. And, you know, part of the Crab Cake Tour, I should say that two of you were both inspirers to me. Ed's idea of doing the crab cake thing, sort of your idea, but really stolen from these gentlemen when I was a child, and I've asked Rodericks, Bass, Olesker, all the old sage types. But I remember seeing a story, whether it was on Evening Magazine or it was in the 6 o'clock news, that there were some older gentlemen who every, like, Friday would go around in the afternoon and eat a crab cake at a different place. This is before the internet, and it was like, it was almost like going in style, the old Art Carney and George Burns. It was like these old dudes who did it 40 years ago. Nobody... If anybody out there knows that story or knows the descendants of these gentlemen, who let me know. But that's where the idea came from 30 years ago. And then I follow you on Facebook, and you get crab cakes like in Houston and in Florida. And like you really, you
search them out. I search out a Maryland crab cake. People are like, don't eat them out of town. I'm like,
don't do it.
I will tell you. The Lock Bar in Boca Raton.
But they're Maryland people.
Yes, you gotta find those Maryland people.
Yeah, it doesn't count. I mean, it does, but it doesn't.
It would be upsetting if it wasn't, right?
Yeah.
Like but if when they went there and they...
I just don't. I mean, I'm going to Long Island on Saturday night, right? I'm not getting a crab cake. I'll get anything but a crab. It says Maryland style. Crab. Yeah, I don't want any part of that.
You
don't want that.
No. One of my things when I started doing this was like for people that don't live here anymore to
make them jealous.
Find the place. and I will tell you,
it doesn't even matter. You get them delivered now. You get them shipped all across the country.
I was in South Florida on a Thursday night when there was a Ravens game, and I put it out on social media. I'm like, I've got 20 minutes to figure out where the Ravens bar is down here. And Mark Phelps of Carroll Independent Fuel goes, you need to be at Kilby's in, it's either Juneau or Jupiter. And sure enough, I walk in, all these people are in purple. Guess who's got a great crab cake?
That place? All right.
Absolutely.
Well, I mean...
So they're everywhere, and that's kind of my thing, is finding them in unforeseen places.
All right. Well, you're Conrad's in Perry Hall. We're going to get down with this crab cake. Bill inspired Baltimore Positive, which were conversations that didn't necessarily have to do with how few people went to the Orioles game last night, and I was one of them. Or either the draft or sports or even the Kentucky Derby, which is going on this weekend. But so the combination of his inspiring conversations that lead to STEM conversations circled around crab cakes. And here's what I've decided to do. Bill, I don't know if you know this, but I'm going to do 31 breweries in August to go with the 31 crab cakes. Yes, it's true. My wife's going to drive.
And it's 30 days.
I'm going to need detox. Yeah. We're here. We're at Conrad's. And I love the remoulade. How do you feel about, do you do cocktail? Do you do tartar? I mean, I feel like I'm really talking to an expert. I mean, you're the guy I know that I know you've had more crab cakes than mine.
So
literally.
And one of the things people ask me about it, and I'm like, you know, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. A good crab cake is in the mouth of the eater. But if you need a sauce to make your crab cake good,
you don't have a good enough crab cake. All right, but I like cocktail. I have learned there are two or three places I've been on the tour that's had really nice tartar. And I don't mean something out of a little package. I'm talking about something that's complex. Something with lemon, something with brightness, something with capers, something really fresh. This is a remoulade, and I'm bringing Tony and Andrew on here from Conrad's in the next segment. And we've talked remoulades. I love remoulade. So I don't have a problem with remoulade with crab. I think it complements it. But I would agree with you that if you can't eat it plain, what's the use? But I do like a complimentary remoulade. I do.
Can I do a shout out to a Baltimore company?
Go ahead. Shout out anybody you want.
So if I'm putting any sauces on anything, it's from Tokol Foods.
What is that? I've never heard of that.
Involves,
sounds like you need to be a sponsor.
Horseradish.
Oh,
Tokol Foods has been in Baltimore for a million years. They do tiger sauce. If you've ever had horseradish,
I love horseradish.
At like Martin's out of a vat, uh-huh, or something, that's them. They are the second largest processor of horseradish, and it's in Dundalk. We gotta do a tour.
All right.
Talk
all right.
Off.
We'll
totally
do it. All right. Well,
and does your nose burn just walking through the building? Like, is there like,
oh,
in the air?
Yes. It, like, have you ever had the? Have you ever been to St. Elmo's in Indianapolis? They do the cocktail. Yeah.
You can get that from Amazon in the bottle.
Let me tell you where you can get that.
It's good. Like as the when they make it there, but it's still
they serve
not
it.
The right zip.
Supermarkets carry. They
yeah.
do. There's no doubt about it. All right, you gonna have a bite of your crab cake? We're gonna get out of here. You
yeah.
gonna do this?
Yeah.
Ed Mullen's here. He is my STEM buddy. We went to Oreo games together, and networking around town. Billy Cole was here from Cole Roofing, and this is legitimate. Come on now. I mean, we're at Conrad's.
See, it's got the lump. It's got the light seasoning. Oh, and I gotta give him a
you
shout out for the micro, the micro greens. Big
we
fan
call
of
that,
micro
we
greens.
Call that rocket. Right. This is legendary.
No,
having Eddie the crab cake on the show is just, you know, above and beyond. I knew I was going to knock the beer
ooh,
over.
That
was really, really close, wasn't it? It's time to break. French fries, coleslaw, crab cake, as my Aunt Jane would say. They serve it the right way here at Conrad's, East Baltimore Way. Billy Cole's here for Cole Roofing. Ed Mullen's here. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I think somebody stole my tickets. We're getting out. We're doing this each and every week. Our next Maryland Crab Cake Tour, believe it or not, I've had many requests from politicians and regular people that said they're... And I have to... The shellfish intolerant. Or
what?
They right, or they don't eat meat, or they're vegan, or you know wherever they are. So we are doing the crab cake tour for the first time ever in a non-crab cake location. We're doing it at the Land of Kush downtown. They make a vegan, famous vegan crab cake. So we're going to be doing this. Brooke Learman's joining us. Dhruv Vigneraj is joining us. They are famous vegan folks who are running for office.
What
so they're going to
just give it a different name. Like not a vegan crab cake, it's like a vegan something else cake.
But
vegan bean cake, right?
Vegan seafood cake, vegan.
It's not seafood either, right? Or
I don't know. I don't know what it is. It's not imitation crab. It's
right,
not that
right,
crab.
Right.
No, it's not that stuff. I don't know what it's going to be.
Like,
not like this. This is legitimate.
I mean, it can be wonderful, but it's not crab. It's
yeah, that imitation crab. It's a fish.
Right. I know. A fish stick, crab stick. I'm not into all that. That's why I come to Conrad. We're not doing any of that on the Crab Cake Tour, but we are going to do a vegan crab cake.
Just because it's almost Mother's Day.
Okay.
That is why I'm a tartar sauce with my crab cake, because my mother's going to make, like, real tartar sauce. You know?
Right.
And that was the shebang.
Right.
Deep fried crab cakes with the
like hockey pucks. That's what my mother made them.
Yeah, you got it. With the homemade tartar sauce. I mean, that was crab cake experience. That's where it is for me. I won't say it's true.
Some people get real upset when I order the fried crab cake. They look at me, they give me the stink eye, and I'm like, that's what my mama did. So I don't have any problem with fried crab cakes. I'm not much for like yellow mustard, like the way they serve them at the ball. I'm not doing that, you know.
Yeah.
But that's the old school way. All right. Cheers to everybody here listening, and appreciate you guys coming out. I finally got Ed out for a crab cake, man.
Yeah.
We had COVID, really we had exciting. Masks, we had all this stuff going on. He told his nerd story, which I love, because, you know, I mean, maybe my grandkid's going to be a STEM kid maybe when the time comes, you know?
Like two or three people to hear Ed's story and get on the train, and, like, let's just keep moving it forward.
Well, I got at least two or three listeners here today, so I'm appreciative. We're giving the Maryland Lottery tickets away. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery, as well as Goodwill. I have my little truck and our friends at Window Nation. On behalf of my pal Bill Cole and Ed Mullen, we're back for more here at Conrad's. More beer, more Vita, more Purple Haze from Perry Hall right after this.